Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I'm comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. And this is part three, the final part of our San Diego Comic-Con coverage for 2019. It is Sunday. It is about 10 a.m. in the morning. It is a perfect San Diego morning. The sun is beating down and I am keen to get out of it because I wore a long sleeve t-shirt. So today, as it always at Comic-Con, but probably more so this year, it's just mopping up, making sure you go down all the aisles you may have missed, and just walk the floor and record some segments for you guys. Let's get a coffee, and then let's get to it. All right, you guys, it's just before 11, and we are in the Comic-Con in the 2000s and beyond panel. It's about to start. Eddie Campbell, Gene Ha, Jay Lee. I don't know any of those people.
I've never heard of
it. But we'll find out. But I know the next one, Steve Sansweet.
Yeah, we heard of him.
I think I've just gone to Steve Sansweet panels. Oh, no, I went to the Star Wars ones. Yeah, Kevin Smith, heard of him. Billy Tushy and Kurt Busnick. So they're going to talk about Comic-Con in the 2000s, which is very exciting. And kind of it's in a moderately big room, but yeah, it's not Chockers. I think they needed to promote the Kev Smith angle, or yeah. Is Kevin Smith just Comic-Con down? Does everyone get to see him?
They're like,
is he old news?
They're like, yeah, we've seen him at every single Comic-Con, at people, every single panel.
People are more interested in people cosplaying as Kevin Smith.
I've seen a couple.
Yeah, right,
seen a couple. Yeah.
So tell us about that panel you just went to.
So I came in here early just to sit and get seats and all that, which we then moved from. I walked into a Doctor Who comics panel, and one of the writers that they had on the panel was Jodie Hauser, who's written a bunch of stuff for Marvel Star Wars.
Is that Doogie's little sister?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you.
Keep going.
And she talked about writing the Rogue One comics adaptation, because there was a question about, like, how closely do you work with the TV side and the movie side of the, you know, when you work in other people's IPs? And she told the story about Rogue One, about how about 10 days before the movie came out, she got to go and read the script so that she could start working on the comic, and then had to go to the movie.
That's going
to
be a busy 10 days.
Yeah. And she tells the story about going to the movie with like 80 people and having to pretend she didn't know that everybody died at the end.
Ah.
And not giving it away. So that's Rogue One for you.
So when did the Rogue One comic come out? Like way after?
Yeah, way after. That's how it's been with the adaptations for the new movies. They always come out like months later. And I remember the Force Awakens one. I picked up the first issue and I was like, there is nothing new in this.
Yeah.
Why do I want this?
I remember the Force Awakens one being kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
But then I think the Rogue One one was really good.
Like, I haven't read one since.
I think it was really like alternate scenes and stuff.
Yeah, that would be good.
Which, I don't know, just a straight adaptation, it's like, ugh.
It's like, why bother?
I need...
Need something new.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need some mortar around those bricks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Get some deleted scenes in there or something.
Yeah. Well, they used to just put deleted scenes in there by accident.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know they were deleted. And we had our meetup last night, which was super cool.
It was very fun.
Yeah, it was good to hang out with everyone. All right, it's starting.
We better go. Here we go. Right. Yeah, I don't see him.
I don't see Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay in the back?
I have an alternative perspective. that year in question, I was the next man. So I was sitting in the back of Hall H enjoying the Star Wars panel, and boy, they pulled out all the stops, man. The old cast was there, the legacy cast, the new cast were there. They had stormtroopers from the old movies and stormtroopers from the new movies, brought them out for ranks and shit. It was impressive as fuck. Then Chris Hardwick was the host of the panel. He said, JJ, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up? And JJ's like, how many people in the audience love the music of Star Wars? You know, fucking 6,000 people are like, wow. I was in the back like, I too enjoy Star Wars. I wonder where this is going. And JJ was like, how many people want to go see a Star Wars concert right now? Everyone went fucking ape shit. And I was sitting in the back going, well, clearly you can't take them all. I know these Comic-Con events. First 100 will get in. The rest of us will sit around bitching about it. My bad. And JJ said, everyone can go. People over there have these lanyards for you. When you get outside, we're going to give you plastic lightsabers and shit. Whole cast is going to be there and whatnot. So if you'll just orderly stand up and head on out, we'll take you to the concert. And 6,000 fucking people stood up and processed out with no problem. What's the problem? Security gave them no problem. They gave security no problem. And security was like, this is how it should always be. And I sat and I watched that fucking room empty and was like, oh, my God. This is my nightmare, man. Like, I'm the next guy and shit. There was nobody left. And I remember Eddie Abraham came over to me and he had this look on his face that was not quite as pale as mine. And I was like, what do we do? I'm next. And he goes, I don't know. I've never seen this happen. So, yeah, it was empty. And I remember, like, everyone came off stage and JJ was the last one off stage and everyone was in good moods. The panel went well. I see JJ's assistant, Morgan, run up to JJ and whispers in his ear, and suddenly JJ like looks around the room and he sees me in the back and I wave to him. He runs over and he's like, dude, I had no idea. They didn't tell me anyone was after us, let alone you. I was like, yeah, I'm up next. He goes, oh my God, I feel bad. I feel like Darth Vader. This is terrible. And she goes, no, no, no. Here, let's take a selfie so I can commemorate the worst fucking moment. Concert, man. But it's a lot harder doing a Hall H show to an empty fucking room. But all was said and done, and I should admit, like, we had 2,000 people, and 2,000 people is a respectable number anywhere but in Hall H. So that year, anyone that didn't like me, a lot of the websites and shit, like, took pictures from the back of the room of Hall H, and you saw a sea of empty chairs. And me on stage by myself and shit like that. So, I'll be honest with you, like, it was the worst moment of my professional career. So I'm like, that's one of the worst moments of my life. I'm doing good in life. It's a real first world problem, I understand. But it kind of made me grow up and broke me. Like, that was my worst fear in the world. What if I went to Hall H? Like, I built my Hall H became part of my relevance to me. I was like, well, if I always walk out there at the end of the night, people are still fucking there, then I'm still, I got one more year in this business and shit. So I was like, the day I walk out, nobody's out there, I gotta pack it up. And I walked out, fucking nobody. And so, you know, as a moment, I was like, do I pack it up? But you put on the show for the folks who were there, not for the folks that didn't come and stuff. So there were about 2,000 people, a bunch of folks. So, you know, I kind of processed it, and by the end of it, I was like, hey, sip happens. And we went on and had a good fucking time. And she was like, what a fucking nightmare that was.
On a somewhat lighter note, I will watching Comic-Con grow.
Hey guys, keep listening after the conclusion of the show because we've got the audio of our Hot Toys Sideshow booth tour with Dom and I, or you can hit the link in the show notes and watch the YouTube version with full video of everything we're talking about. Thanks so much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Dom. It's like 2 o'clock. I have to go. Me and Blondie are going to go back to LA now. But we just went to this awesome panel. Yeah. Good way to wrap up.
It was a great panel.
It was the Comic-Con in the 2000s.
Yeah, it was awesome. We had Steve Sansweet, Kevin Smith. I mean, you read off all the names earlier, so people know. But really, it was a Kevin Smith panel with a little bit of Sansweet and other people thrown in for good measure.
Yeah, but it was a good, like, hey, Comic-Con's fun.
Yeah. It was a great sort of, like, why we love Comic-Con kind of panel. There were lots of great stories. Kevin Smith told the story about the time J.J. Abrams took all of his audience from Hall H.
Well, they actually just heard that.
Yeah.
Because I bootlegged it.
Oh, they just bootlegged it. Oh, great. Yeah, that was awesome. And Sansweet told the story of when he revealed the title of Revenge of the Sith. It was a fun panel. Lots of good stories, lots of laughs. And Kevin Smith just kind of gave us a monologue about why Comic-Con is so great and why it's, you know, one of the best places.
And I felt like that was our sweet hidden gem panel for the year.
Yeah, there weren't a ton of people there. The room was maybe half to two-thirds full, and it wasn't a giant room either. But I think everybody there had a really good time. It was a nice kind of encapsulation of everything, and yeah, it was a real hidden gem.
Nice. Much like our buddy Dom is a hidden gem.
Yes, I am.
Alrighty, man. Well, always a pleasure. I might see you next month, yeah?
Yeah, I'll be back for D23.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a big hug. And thanks for being my little nerd buddy.
Aw, thank you, buddy. It's been great.
You're a big part of the fun of Comic-Con.
You are too, buddy. Aww. It's been awesome.
I was setting you up to say that. Just need nice things, affirmations and stuff.
Of course.
All right, later.
Later. May the force be with you.
Coming up right now is the audio from Dom and Mai's Sideshow Hot Toys booth tour. If you want to watch what we're talking about, you can go to the full video at youtube.com/Steel Wars. The direct link is in your show notes. And if you enjoyed the Comic-Con coverage, please give us a retweet or a share on social media. And when you're on iTunes, give us one of those sweet 5-star reviews. It's so appreciated. And if you want more bonus content, just this week on Patreon, we have posted 2 Q&As and a 2-hour Robbo report with Robbo and I just talking Star Wars as two mates do. And that's just on the $3 a month. That's just a week of what you get in a month, as well as the full back catalog, 600 plus audio files waiting for you to listen to. Audio files doesn't sound that enticing. It's content, buddy. It's content. Thanks so much. And may that force be with you. Enjoy the Sideshow Hot Toys tour. Hey guys, it's Steel with Dom from the Star Wars Underworld.
Hello.
And we're at the Sideshow booth at San Diego Comic-Con. And like last year, we're just going to cruise around and see what's new, what's old, and do commentary.
Yeah.
So if you're listening on the podcast, there will be a link down the bottom, and that will take you to the YouTube video. But if you're... Maybe if you're watching on YouTube and you want less information, go to the podcast and then you can just hear.
Yeah, then you can just kind of guess at what we're seeing. You know?
Or save time and just close your eyes for the next 10 minutes while you're on YouTube.
Just try to imagine what we're looking at.
Yeah, and if someone walks in on you asking what you're doing, just like this...
It's the latest trend.
The guy on the internet said it would be funny. So let's get into it, Dominic.
All right. Let's do.
All right, Dom.
Yeah.
I seem to remember this from last year.
Yeah, this feels like it's from a previous year.
Do you know why I remember it?
Why?
Because I remember being impressed by the pillows that had been produced.
Those are...
Those are good pillows.
Look at Jabba's eyes, though.
Yeah.
He has been sucking back on that hookah
yeah.
a little bit too much.
He looks like he's ready to go do the Star Wars collectibles panel.
And an amazing salacious
that
crumb.
That is a good salacious crumb. Look at him there. Look at him there. Like, I had the 3 3/4 inch scale version of this that Hasbro put out a couple of years ago, and this is like, and that had a pretty decent salacious crumb, but this one has articulation and everything. It's nice.
What were the pillows like in that set?
Plastic.
Ooh.
You couldn't rest your head on them at all.
Now, we've got some cups here.
Yeah.
And then a little...
What is that?
A little someone's ordered Chinese takeaway.
Yeah, it looks like a bunch of potatoes and some hot dogs.
I don't know what sort of hot dogs you're eating in Canada, mate, but I would steer clear. Oh my god, look at Jabba's tail. Have you ever noticed that?
No. What about it? Oh, like it's got a cut in it.
Yeah, it's got a little cut.
Yeah. I wonder if that's like something that they had to work in for the production, because there was the dude in Jabba's tail swinging it around.
Well, the fact that they've put it on the figure truly is a deep cut.
Ooh, ba-dum, boom.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. All right, now we've got... I'm pretty sure we've seen all these before.
Yeah.
C-3PO, 6-scale figure. I should say that Jabba the Hutt was $795 if you're interested, and it's in stock.
Oh, good.
Then you've got, all the 12-inch figures.
Yeah.
C-3PO, Han Carbonite, Darth Vader, Boba Fett, Mythos.
Yeah, he's got a lot more, like... fabric.
Well, these are sort of like the off-camera sort of thing, because you've got the Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, I recognize this one.
That's the Obi-Wan Kenobi in the middle, 10 years after Revenge of the Sith.
That painting that you see everywhere of this. Yeah.
Then you've got R2-D2, 12-inch figure, so he's actually 6-inch, and he's got the drink thing, and it looks like he's just poured a bunch of shots for everyone, Maduri shots.
Yeah, looks like
so that's disgusting.
R2's ready to party.
160, and then the Luke.
That's a good Luke. It's a good Luke.
And that is 235. It's a Jedi Luke.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I never realized Mark Hamill had such veiny hands. Is that a thing?
I've never spent a lot of time looking at Mark's hands, so I can't tell you.
Oh, wow. It's real fabric.
See, we've got some real fabric hype in the background.
Exciting. You got to have that real fabric, practical effects.
So, Dom, we've got this Star Wars chess set.
Yeah.
Which is, it brings me back, the Star Wars chess set.
Okay.
Because I remember in the dark days of the early 90s.
Sure.
Getting, like, the Lucasfilm Fan Club magazine. The Star Wars Insider used to be called.
Yeah.
And they were very short of licenses.
Sure.
But the chess set licenses just kept rolling through.
Okay.
There was always a Star Wars chess set about to be offered in the 90s, it seems. Now, I always find it interesting what pieces they use
for
what sets. Now, they've gone for the pawns. Pretty good. They've got the crouching stormtrooper versus the crouching rebel fleet trooper.
Yeah. The way the pawns are crouching always makes me think of Harry Potter. That's apropos of nothing. It just does.
It really is apropos of nothing. Then on the hero side, I don't really know what... I'm more of a checkers guy.
Sure, okay.
So I don't know what all these pieces are called.
That is the rook, I think.
Well, I didn't even want to go into what they're called.
Okay. I could guess. I think I know what most of them are.
No, I don't want to guess.
Okay.
I want to have hard facts.
Sure.
This is the internet.
Yeah,
we
you're right.
We can't just post up guesswork.
You're right. No. It goes rook, knight, bishop, king, queen.
All right. For people that know... Okay, so from across... I should say they're like pewter or something. Have we got a material on this film?
They are made by Royal Selangor. Selaginor? I don't know.
Well, it's going to be $900. So whatever. It's
Selenor?
I think each figure is made out of unobtainium.
Yeah.
So, all right. So going across for chess people, you've got X-Wing Pilot.
Yes.
Random. R2-D2, Luke Skywalker, the Queen is Princess Leia.
No, I think...
Oh, sorry, Han Solo.
Han Solo, yeah.
The Queen is Princess Leia, the King is Luke Skywalker, then you're back to Chewbacka, C-3PO, and then an X-Wing pilot. Then on the evil side, you've got TIE Fighter pilot, Royal Guard, then just an Imperial with his hands behind his back...
classic Imperial pose.
Which is the equivalent to Chewbacca.
Apparently.
Now, I don't know how this is set up. There's Darth Vader and the Emperor. Which is the king, which is the queen?
I think Vader is probably the king and the Emperor's the queen. Vader is the queen and the Emperor is the king.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so they're more going for in-universe rank rather than global recognition on a pop culture scale.
Yeah, I like it. Smart.
And then you've got another Imperial, a Royal Guard, and the TIE Fighter pilot. Now, this is a classic Rebel versus Imperial setup.
Mm-hmm.
You, Dominic, the Star Wars fan.
Sure.
The Star Wars fan amongst us.
Yeah, okay.
You've seen the films. You have enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Would you rather... So the Imperials are a bit bland.
Yeah.
Would you rather a bit of a Boba Fett thrown in just to mix things up, even though he's not a true Imperial?
Yeah, I'd like a Boba Fett. I'd like to see this like across the eras. You know, maybe you get your instead of just a generic Imperial officer, you get a General Hux in here, or a Boba Fett, or
a Hux.
Yeah.
No. See, you're busting out. This is set in the original trilogy
time. Okay, just original trilogy. Okay, fine.
I definitely think like
Boba Fett. Yeah.
Like instead of a random Imperial, maybe chuck in Tarkin and Boba Fett.
Yeah. There you go.
There's some good secondary characters.
Or get like Bosk in here.
I don't know about Bosk, man. I feel like.
What about IG-88?
I feel like the time to ask you for suggestions has ended. Because I'm not into him.
What about the guy with the snout from New Hope?
Yeah, guy with a snout. Yeah, he deserves a chess piece.
Yeah, of course.
Now, all right, so we've got some life-size stuff here.
Or at least one life-size thing. There he is. The guy who should be in the chess set.
Oh, my God. Boba Fett.
You got $1,300 burning a hole in your pocket?
And he's got... So, on this Boba Fett, guys, it's a bust. So, it's pretty much like you've taken Boba Fett, you've cut off his arms, and midway through his chest, and then you've put him on this little plate.
Right, yeah.
That's him. So, on this bust, he's got this light-up LCD thing going across with numbers.
It's kind of cool. Can you make it say things? Like, can you spell out?
He's got
stuff
essentially
with it?
One of those LCD belt buckles that were very popular 10 years ago. Why is that? It says, oh, no, you can make it say stuff.
It says, do.
But why is it there?
I don't. That's interesting. And what does that say?
I don't know.
Like a D-U-E.
Do it.
Do it. Do it. It's interesting.
Well, it's just weird that you're forking over $1,300 for a life-size bust, and then it's got this little alarm clock on his chest.
Yeah, maybe it is an alarm clock. Maybe wake up. Maybe to hit the snooze button, you pull down the thingy, the rangefinder. There we go.
Well, you'll need that alarm clock because you'll need to wake up to go to work to pay for such a ridiculous $1,300 alarm clock.
Yeah,
let's go around the back and check out the backpack.
Okay.
That is pretty sick.
Yeah.
Oh, work out it's only half a backpack. Yeah. Okay. Hey, as far as jetpacks go, that's a good one.
Yeah, and like the Wookiee pelts or the pelts that he carries around, like they extend further down.
Yeah, the pelts should be chopped off as well.
Yeah, they should be.
All right,
just
so this is
off.
Premium format. This is, what is this, like a 15-inch scale, 1/6 scale?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
But you got Darth Vader, $600, Stormtrooper, $535.
Yeah.
A very good Princess Leia.
That's an excellent Leia. A lot of the... Leia seems to be one of the harder likenesses to capture.
Well, do you know... Attractive people are the hardest.
Okay.
That's why all the Oscar Isaac figures are brutal.
They look bad.
Yeah.
But this is a very good one.
So
excellent.
Princess Leia, a New Hope dress, lovely material. It is really cool.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Then you've got Luke Skywalker Bespin premium format, $550. Yeah. His face, it's too stressed out. I couldn't have that in my room. That would give me anxiety.
He looks a little, like, grayer than he should in the face and hair. Like, he looks like you just put this figure through that weird face app that everybody's obsessed with right now.
Yeah, his face looks like he's about to miss a bus, but he needs to go to the toilet. That's what he's trying to work out.
Sure, yeah.
Do I just get on the bus or do I find a toilet?
This is what Luke was doing 10 years after Return of the Jedi, apparently.
Nice. Well, that outfit's good, but his face, yeah. It's too tense for me.
Yeah,
too tense.
Yeah, no, stressful.
All right, now we've got the Han Solo Premium Format.
Yeah.
$550 in stock if you want it. You get... how much of the Falcon is that, you reckon? One 800th of the Falcon?
Yeah, maybe 1/750th.
So he's on this... So this is like one of these 16-inch figures, 1/6 scale, and he's standing on like there's a little...
There's a base.
A stand that's like a bit of the Falcon.
Yeah.
But...
It's got a little bit of the wall.
But it's really weird because it's cut out, so you actually see what's underneath the Falcon. Like, you see pipes.
Yeah. I actually think that's kind of cool. I think it gives it a little bit of character.
Hey, come for the Harrison.
Yeah.
Stay for the pipes.
Exactly.
But, I don't know. His head sculpt...
Yeah, it's not as good as the Leia one.
That's not $550 head sculpt.
No.
Where I'm coming from.
No, that's like a... That's not even... That's like a... $20 head sculpt. Like, that's a Black Series.
Yeah. But the outfit is...
It's nice.
That is a well-dressed Ken doll.
This is very nice. Very nice. Ben Kenobi over here.
And we've got Ben Kenobi.
And he's got a little bit of, like, his base.
Oh, his base is...
his hut.
No, it's the cantina.
Oh, it's the cantina.
Because look, you can't see, but around here, under his cape, there is Ponda Barba's arms on the ground.
That's awesome. That's $540 worth of entertainment right there.
But again, much like the Millennium Falcon one, you can now see the pipes that run under the cantina. Did you guys know under the cantina there was an elaborate pipe system?
I kind of assumed and kind of hoped, just, you know, based on plumbing.
Really? I always thought just underneath would be dirt.
I suppose, yeah.
But no, pipes.
It's pipes. I wonder, you know, whoever designed this... this line for Sideshow, they seem to have some kind of obsession with pipes.
Yeah. I want to start hitting up Pablo Hidalgo. What do you know about the pipes in the cantina? Yeah.
Explain it to me, Pablo.
All right, guys. We are now in Hot Toys territory. For those that don't know, Sideshow distribute.
Yeah.
The far superior under any measure, except maybe price, Hot Toys from Japan. And, oh my God, Sith Trooper.
Yeah.
It is, the detail on this, like the little ribs and stuff like that, all the grooves on the helmet, it is, they have done a very good job.
Yeah, I'm really liking all this Sith Trooper stuff. I know it's just a red Stormtrooper, but you can really see in things like this the amount of detail that's gone into it and how it is a little bit different.
I was saying to someone before, at the Chris Gore panel, the film panel we're talking afterwards, and people complaining about the Sith Trooper.
Yeah.
And it's like, is this red? And it's just like, when did you decide that there was too many Stormtroopers? Because they've been repainting them since 1977. Like, towards the end, they just painted one black, and it was like TIE Fighter pilot. And then, where were you in the mid-2000s?
Yeah.
When Dave Filoni was just going clone.
Yeah.
Like, this whole repainting thing, it is... Like, if you were fine with it then, it's actually, compared to the clones, it's way scaled back now.
Yeah. Now it's just, like, one guy who's solid red. Clones, there was so much stuff, which was awesome. Like, I loved that about Clone Wars. But this is nice, too. It's just a little bit different. And just the fact that it's called, you know, a Sith Trooper is very... very interesting, very exciting. It really got me thinking about the Rise of Skywalker.
Well, the Sith Trooper thing is... The name is what I'm holding out judgment for.
Okay.
Like, I want to know why it's called a Sith Trooper.
Right, okay.
And it better make sense.
Sure.
Or there'll be some nasty tweets. And the other thing they announced pre-convention was this Solo Darth Maul.
Yeah.
And... Oh my God, it is amazing. The effect, I actually didn't know that lightsaber thing. I thought that they just did it in Photoshop.
I thought so too.
But this streaky lightsaber that you saw in the photos is actually a plastic streak.
Yeah, it's good. I think they should do this with more stuff. It should be an option.
It should be an option.
Yes, yeah, sure. But it gives it like that sense of motion, and especially the way they have him all posed. He's very clearly about to attack somebody.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what this figure really makes me wish and kind of makes me sad about
no.
is that we're not getting the follow-up to this story, because you see this figure, you see it in this action pose, and it just gets your mind going with all of the potential that could have been and perhaps should have been had Solo come out in December like it was supposed to.
Well, I don't know, with the it's sort of the fact that it's not going to be ongoing, and I hold out hope that it's going to be, okay. I'll get around to it, but yeah. It kind of like, if they had the hindsight to know they weren't going to be doing any more,
sure,
don't put him in it.
Yeah, like, yeah, I agree.
To have him appear and then it go nowhere is just ugh.
Yeah, yeah. No, Kira should have just taken off with the ship.
Now,
speaking of Kira, with this, you get a couple of little mini holograms, including Maul sitting down and Kira,
but
Emilia Clarke.
For those that watch the or listen to the Comic-Con exclusives episode with Corey, what Corey was most excited about,
okay,
the seat.
Okay.
Corey is taken with this seat.
Interesting.
He loves the detail in the seat. Now,
again,
I'm going to get some overhead shots of the seat for Corey.
There it is, Corey. All for you, buddy.
How much is this bad boy? Oh, it's TBT.
TBD, yeah. It's my favorite price.
All right, well... All right, I was trying to find something else that was similar in size and that, and to get a price, but everything else is TBD as well.
Yeah, and we've got Count Dooku here for $240.
All right, Count Dooku, which is a more basic figure.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking you're going to be up for $400 or something.
Yeah,
Padme is looking very Natalie Portman-ish.
Yes, very Natalie Portman-esque. And the product shown is not final, pending license or approval. I'm going to say they probably get approval on this one.
Thumbs up, Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that looks a lot like Natalie Portman.
It really does. It's an excellent figure.
Hmm.
That's something that the Hot Toys do really well, is they tend to get the faces right, which is not something that most licensees can say.
New. And then we've got some, this must be new, Jango Fett. It just feels like it's old.
Yeah, because I feel like we see a version of this, either Jango or Boba, every year.
Oh, it's hard also because there's Hot Toys and then you got Sideshow, so
true.
It's sort of like...
Which one's which?
But he actually reminds me of the original Hasbro Jango Fett, because it's got the clip-on flame and all that. And there was ones that came with the clip-on jet propulsion he's got. For those that are on the podcast, he's a jet-packing, flame-throwing Jango Fett.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of prequel stuff. There's three clones.
Yeah, all from the 212th, it looks like.
Commander Cody, Airborne Trooper, Clone Trooper... And I have to say, I'm pretty into Star Wars, but all these clones just blend. I don't.
See, this is where loving Clone Wars, you really got into the some of the nuances here and there.
We're about to start a rewatch with Corey.
Oh, all right.
But this Airborne Trooper,
yeah.
Are you familiar with this character?
I feel like we see him in Revenge of the Sith really briefly, but he's not one of the recognizable ones. It actually kind of looks like it might not even be one of the ones they got to in Clone Wars.
The helmet on the Airborne Trooper looks like someone's turned his helmet sideways.
Okay, yeah.
Like it does. That looks like the side of the helmet.
Sure.
I actually looked and thought it was turned around, but he's got he's got a lot of weaponry.
He does that.
It is very impressive. When you look at the detail of all the little toy parts that come
with
grenades and stuff, it is insane.
I totally get why people get into collecting these guys, because they're awesome.
Because they hate money.
Yeah.
Then you've got Kit Fisto.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Looking good.
Absolutely sick. I do have to say, all these Hot Toys have been A1, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're stellar.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Stellar, yeah.
Look at him.
Liam Neeson.
He looks like he's about to hit the streets and...
and do something he really shouldn't.
Yeah. And then talk about it 20 years later for some reason.
Yeah, for reasons that don't make sense.
Then you've got... where share with you, we've got a Yoda here. It is flying around, laser firing, green lightsaber wielding Yoda. Where were you on the jump around Yoda?
I like it. I think it's cool. I mean, I'll be honest, Attack of the Clones was the second Star Wars movie I ever saw. So it's not, there's nothing sort of weird about Yoda being animated, for lack of a better term. So I think it looks cool. I like it. It's fun. It's a different sort of it's kind of a different type of lightsaber fight than we're used to seeing. So I like it.
What do you think I think of it, Dom?
I'm gonna say you're kind of middling on it.
Love it.
Love it. Excellent.
Jump around, you little green monkey. Keep jumping.
Yeah. Brilliant.
I was yelling, spin some more.
All right. Good stuff.
No, the last 40 minutes of Attack of the Clones,
yeah,
I was euphoric over.
Oh, nice. Yeah, like, I mean, it's the best 40 minutes of the movie.
Except for whenever they show clones. Which was a fair bit of the movie, I have to say. I just
love me some digital clones.
I just felt like I was watching a really good cartoon.
Sure.
But there's that one shot of...
you're like, I could take 6 or 7 seasons of this down the line.
Yeah, but if it's in a cartoon, then it's a cartoon. That's what I signed up for.
Right.
But there's like a few shots that just show them like cannons firing and stuff. And I just don't buy into it.
Okay.
I just feel like I'm watching an animatic of the battle,
okay,
not the battle.
I don't know. Those shots that are like kind of in the dust that are just cannons firing, those are some of my favorites in that,
yeah,
in that sequence. So.
Well, maybe that is, you know how you said that was your second film.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was sort of like, none of this is here. Or
yeah,
real.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I was also 8 when I saw it, which is like prime Star Wars age.
And Canadian.
Yeah, sure.
Alrighty. Oh my god.
Look at those Jawas.
We have got 2 TBD Jawas here. And they are dusty. They come on little clumps of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's a 3-pack. It's a power droid.
Yeah,
you get a gonk.
Gonk.
Now, I'm guessing the eyes will light up.
I would hope so.
They're not lit up here.
They look like they should.
Yeah.
They look like they're little tiny light bulbs.
These figures, the costumes on these figures, which they're about 8 inches high, they look more detailed than the costumes the Jawas were wearing in Star Wars.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Probably.
And then some droids, which I feel like this...
R419.
The Hot Toys scale really treats... It's a good size for a droid.
Yeah, yeah, it's solid. It's good. Got R419, R5D4.
I know R5D4. He's a classic. You know, he's got a bad motivator.
Star of the Mandalorian.
He's a regular Eric Struthers with his bad motivator. But where's R419 hanging out at?
Isn't he on the Death Star? I feel like he's on the Death Star. Now that might just be a really good guess because, you know, he's Imperial color. But I don't know.
He's an R4, which is like an R5. But he's got an extended head, which kind of gives me a headache.
Yeah.
I have a lot of weird... Star Wars makes me feel a lot of things. And
Sure. It makes us all feel things, yeah.
His head just looks... I feel like it hurts.
It looks a little off,
all right, what do you think about this Hot Toys Luke Skywalker Bespin figure?
I like this one better than the other one.
Much better than the other one.
Yeah. He looks good. He doesn't look like he's waiting for a bus or whatever it is you said.
Or the toilet. But on this one, face looks much better.
Yeah.
No veiny hands.
No. Oh. You're going to have to investigate.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
Hamill's here promoting like dark the thing he's doing a voice in.
Oh, Dark Crystal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe we can track him down and have a look at his hands.
Well, I'm going to catch up with Nathan later or tomorrow. And so I'm going to have to hit him up. Your dad really got veiny hands? Come to this booth. Is this not your dad's hands?
Look at this. Yeah, yeah. Tell me what you think.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that. Oh, my God. This is... I am shocked and impressed. There is a Luke Skywalker Return of the Jedi Sandstorm deleted scene figure.
Yeah.
This is so cool. So it's Luke in his Jedi outfit with a cloak over his head to block from the sandstorm.
And he's got the little wound, for lack of a better term, on his hand from where he gets shot.
Yeah,
and you can see the metal bits inside.
Yeah, his hand is like terminated.
Yeah, it looks
and you
good.
Can see through to the metal, and in that hand he's holding his goggles, and the face does look like Mark Hamill in a sandstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Confirmed.
Yeah, it does.
So that is a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Then you've got R2-D2 Masterpiece Series Deluxe Version.
Now, can you put all these things back into R2? That's my question.
Well, we have to say, for those that are listening only, so this is R2-D2 with everything popping out of him.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 different things. And then what's that thing down the bottom? That little...
That's the like the power thing that Luke plugs him into Empire Strikes Back.
God, that is amazing. So he's got his little power... He's Mophie.
Yeah.
His droid Mophie from Empire Strikes Back.
That's good.
But so he's got the antenna thing that he looks for Luke and Han in Empire Strikes Back when they're in Hoth.
He's got...
The pop-up periscope. Oh, my God, I missed stuff. Yeah, he's got Ignite the Green Lightsaber.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he's got the Death Star plans coming out of his little eye thing.
Oh, my God. But you know what's missing? I'm just going to double check
How
this.
Dare you?
No jetpacks. I am disappointed. I will not be spending $243 for a R2-D2 figure without jetpacks. No, this is sick, everything it's got.
It should actually come with jetpacks.
I agree.
I can't... Like, the jetpacks are one of my least favorite things.
Oh, I'm aware.
But now I love them.
Sure.
I do actually have to... I'm in the market, because I do collect things I don't like in Star Wars.
Yes, I'm aware.
And I'm in the market for a real good jetpack R2-D2.
Well, if you find one, send one my way as well.
All right. So, we're going to go to Endor now.
Yeah.
And we won't go to the main event just yet. But... not equally as good, but pretty damn good. We have got Endor Rebel Soldier Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, yeah, Jedi Rebel. I don't know what we're supposed to call him.
And he's got his little weird hat on. He's got his poncho on. He's ignited the green.
This is probably one of my favorite Luke Skywalker looks, with the hat and the poncho and the dark costume underneath.
Well, I love this scene because in the 90s, they'd have like the home... cinema setup.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it'd be like if you want a big TV and you had 30 grand.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like a THX demo.
Sure.
And so it was super loud.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And when he falls off the speeder bike and ignites the green lightsaber, it went, I just remember my 90s ears is getting shredded by this THX sound and I loved it.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent.
Now, going with that is the Endor Leia.
Yeah.
She looks very Princess Leia-y. Maybe a bit too much blush or black mascara or something under the eyes.
Maybe.
I would never correct a lady on her mascara, but this is an action figure of a lady and not an actual lady.
And the recreation of something specific.
Yes. She's got a poncho on. She's got her light blue pants.
But does she come with the little cracker that she offers Wicket? That's what I want to know.
Well, there is a pouch.
Yeah.
There is a pouch.
Put a little crumb in there.
Now, as the camera pans down.
I feel like we need some music.
Hot Toys. 12-inch. Furry. Wicket the Ewok. This might be the most detailed, cute thing ever produced.
Yeah.
And for those watching on YouTube, he has lost a hand.
Oh, my God.
He's standing there. He's meant to be holding a spear, and his paw has fallen off, and it's at the bottom of the cabinet. There's just a random paw with a spear.
It's so very upsetting.
But I'm sure in production, the hand does come attached to the Ewok wrist.
Gonna hope so.
Which is canon.
Yes, well, sure.
And he comes on a little sort of... almost looks like one of those little things you put in an aquarium.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's got a bit of shrubbery there, some fernery, and a beaten up stormtrooper helmet. And that is, Like his furry little tummy, his furry little ears, his little cape is made from suede and it's got multiple parts, it's got stitching. It's
beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is so good. It is so good. Product shown is not final. Pending license approval. Well, Kathleen Kennedy cruises past with her licensing pad and sees this detached wrist. Heads are going to roll.
Yeah. I was going to say, hopefully, I think the licensor just needs to make sure that they can get the hand to stay on.
All right. Now, before we get kicked out, because it's about to close, let's go over to this giant thing. Jedi Starfighter with Anakin Skywalker, 1/6 scale vehicle. Prototype is not final. Pending licensor approval. Who would not approve this? It is the Jedi Starfighter in 6-inch scale. So what is it? 4 foot long? 3 foot long?
Yeah, 3, 4 feet. I don't know. All I know is this is one of my favorite vehicles in all of Star Wars.
It comes with a bonus R2-D2. He's in there.
Great.
I never got... How does R2-D2 fit into that?
He doesn't. Okay. He just doesn't.
All right. I'll stop. I feel like I thought about that like 10 years ago and just went, I'm not going to think about that. It's too annoying. It's too frustrating. And he's in there. Anakin's in there piloting. He's looking very worked up.
Yeah.
It's got it's got all the controls. This might be one of the greatest toys ever produced.
It's pretty sweet.
Pending license approval.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, Kathleen Kennedy and her licensing pad, like you said, just got to come by. Just a quick check mark.
Plus, she hates the prequels. Well. We've all heard that.
Yeah.
And then you've got, to finish it off, quarter-scale figure, Darth Vader, Return of the Jedi, fist in hand.
Light up base.
In hand is the best place for a fist. Light up base. $575 and
looking good, looking like a Dark Lord.
Looking good. I don't know. I'm sure if you're into Vader, but just having a very elaborate Darth Vader figure, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's not for me.
I like the base. The light up base gives it a little something extra.
It is cool. It is cool.
Makes it worthwhile.
Well, that was... what's your pick out of all this stuff, Dom?
My pick out of all of it is probably... It's probably the Solo Maul. Probably the Solo Maul or this giant starfighter. Although I have no idea where I'd put it.
Yeah, the fighter is... That's insane. As far as things that I could possibly buy...
Yeah.
Wicket the Ewok is amazing. What about for you?
In terms of things I actually buy, I would maybe go with, I like that the Kit Fisto over there.
Nice. Alrighty, guys, thank you for listening and watching, and hit subscribe and all that good stuff, because we're going to have booth tours of other booths, definitely Hasbro, and we've got a Hasbro interview coming up that will be on here, so do all the things, comment what you liked. Yeah, let us know what your pick was, and... I'll hit like if I agree with you. So if you say Wicket.
Dislike if you disagree.
Yes. Thanks so much, and may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.